Nick.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm all right. You literally got this off the ground that we were talking about.
I know, amazing.
Which is cute because I think let's tell them how we did meet because obviously we've been really good friends since, but obviously you were my client first.
Absolutely.
Doing your nursing degree.
Yeah, I was at the time actually, weren't I? I was a student when I came and first visited you.
I remember actually how stressed you was then because the kids were so young as well.
Yeah. And I was on my own doing it initially, weren't I, as well? So that added a lot of stress onto it.
Which is a huge achievement, because how many kiddies would you have had then, Nick?
Three.
Wow. Yeah, because Maggie didn't come along until afterwards, really. Yeah.
Three kids.
Yeah.
Nursing degree. All unpaid hours. I know, you know, because you've done it yourself, haven't you? But it wasn't easy.
That's it. But I think that's what I feel like. If I would have met you, I don't think I'd have been encouraged to go back as well either, because it was just watching you and seeing like kind of that encouragement to go back, knowing what the industry was going to go like.
Yeah.
That I did go back, really.
I think, to be honest, when I first found out and I did set it and said, just go and do it, like as much as it's hard, I wouldn't advise anybody to go and do it, really.
No, absolutely,
I knew what was coming and I said to you and seeing you was a bit like, oh, I don't know if I could get it fitted in, and you've done it.
Yeah.
So massive achievement.
Oh, my
but
God.
But it's not easy. Yeah. It's really not easy.
I think that's what was... For me, and even when like we've been like talking about it and seeing people being inspired by it since, you know, like when we raised that issue the other day on TikTok, is the industry is so unknown right now that the best thing to do is just go back.
Definitely. I think if you are able to go back, you know, then go and do it. But have you not noticed there's so much speculation going on at the minute about regs and people saying certain things that have been announced, and I haven't seen any legitimate announcement as of yet.
Well, this is it. I think there's that much scaremongering going on in the industry that there isn't anything finalised. And I got a message the other day off someone actually, and they were like, can you give me some kind of clarification what's going on? And I'm like, but we actually don't know yet. We're actually waiting ourselves for
it. I'm finding that a lot of non-medics who I've trained, because I've never been against a non-medic at all. As long as they've had the correct training, I don't see how they should be treated differently. But they're then questioning me. And then that makes me feel a little bit bad that I've trained them and took their money.
Yeah.
Then potentially they could end up unemployed from that.
But I think that's where ethically, though, because you've changed your business model at the moment, very much like mine as well. Do you know what I mean? There's plenty of schools out there that are still taking that money off people, but you've very much been black and white, look, medics only until we know what's going on.
Yeah.
I'll still do dental nurse because I do believe dental nurses may still stay in the remit because they've got that GDC registration and everything. But it's down to everything, because even down to when you look at it, like what we've experienced just the last couple of days with the trolling and stuff like that. I can't even cope, you know.
Don't get me set on that today.
But then it's the bullying in the industry as well that's coming, and it's like medics next to doctors, non-medics, and it's just like, is this what social media is about? Because
I think these past few days with that trolling with us, and we keep laughing about it, but in actual real life situations, I could have woke up any of them days, and so could you, and have been feeling in such a shit state that we then read a comment, well, number one...
Been horrendous.
I look like an umpa-lumpa on one of the comments. I mean, I'm sorry. I know I'm tanned, but that's taking the absolute mick. And then eyebrows, we've all got them. But also, how do they know that we've not had problems with things or illnesses that have caused us to then need eyebrows to be big or whatever? That's on us.
Do you know what? The one thing I noticed I got trolled the most of, it was actually semi-permanent makeup artist who actually own businesses, by the way. And they were reposting the videos. And I thought, even if I thought something like that, I would not repost that on my actual business page to show someone I was such a bully.
No. And if that was us, on the other hand, as professionals, we would be took to the NMC
exactly
for bullying. These people who have not got any registrations or any accountability to anyone other than themselves are doing it because they know that they have no fear of pins being taken away, getting done for bullying. They just see that as normal day-to-day life behaviour. And to be honest, quite a lot of it is the norm to people because that's how they've lived and been brought up around.
Absolutely. And I mean, like, you're very much like me, Nick. You know what I mean? We're very much into, like, spirituality. We do a lot of breath work, yoga and stuff like that. So when I was actually reading them comments, I was thinking to myself, do you know what? At first I was retaliating. I was like, do you know, I'm going to show you the mirror. Look what you're doing. This is horrendous because I was getting at least 10. There was some gorgeous comments, but I just thought to myself, do you know what? You're actually not affecting me. Your standards of beauty is completely different to what my standard of beauty is.
Of course, yeah.
Do you get what I mean? But when I was seeing comments when, Nick, you're English, do you get what I mean? But
it's a good job I am. But it is, isn't it? Because that would then be classed as something else and it's not okay.
Exactly. But is this okay that now with social media it's fine to sit behind a screen and bully like that? Because I don't think these people would sit there in real life saying it. Because even today, for instance, I was driving here and someone said, I can't remember what the word was used, but it was like, because I had raw footage and I was just, literally, it was my raw skin, you could see pores on there. And they mentioned something about like open pores and I was like, it's real skin. Like, is this because you're used to just like fabricated filters that you believe that that's what real skin is? And we've got to bring it back down to like normal level. Do you know what I mean? That this is actually, look, they control me all day long. It gets my videos views. Like, do you know what I mean?
You
like,
keep doing we've experienced that, girls,
girl power, keeping it real.
The thing is, like, this day and age as well on social media for the younger generation coming up.
Yeah.
I don't want my kids to think that girls or women should look a certain way.
Absolutely.
And they have to have a face full of makeup on, or they've got to have the row a certain way, or they've got to look a certain way, or, you know, they are only young. They should be able to make them choices themselves, but social media doesn't portray that, does it?
No, absolutely. It portrays a life that's just not real as well. And, I mean, me and you could laugh about it, because obviously when some of them comments were it was just some of the gifts for me, Nick.
The thing, I had to Google translate some of them comments because it weren't even in English writing. And I thought, when I put it in, loads of pictures of eyebrows tear up. And I thought,
Nick, I literally,
if they said that to me in real life, they do not know I've got a karate belt, purple two stripes, I would be roundhousing. But they don't, they wouldn't say it to us in person, would they? No. That's the difference. It's all behind a screen, keyboard. And, you know, it's not just to us, it's just general life of social media.
Yeah.
But there was a woman, did you see, the one that was, who actually,
this actually disgusted me, if I'm honest, because she had so many credentials to her name.
Yeah.
And to think that you're so respected in an industry, but I'm sorry, I'm going to put it out there. This is women who are respected for being bullies.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you want to troll me for saying this, then you know what? I'm talking raw, because I would not go out there being very much like pretending I'm female empowered and I empower other women to make themselves look beautiful and that's what I preach down my page. But realistically, it's so like wrong.
Yeah, you're not really that person.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like saying to people, just choose every day to be nice.
Yeah.
Be kind. You never know what someone's going through.
Yeah.
Yeah, we might come across extremely confident people, because we are.
Yeah, absolutely.
But some days we don't wake up every day feeling our best.
Well, this is it, Nick, as well. And that's what I loved about you, really, like, championed for me. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she was having it. She was having that day. I was like, no, let's just stop that here. I actually said, I've got your back, Claire, on that YouTube channel.
You come with that courage and you're like, way.
Because sometimes you need it, don't you?
Of course you do.
I don't know. There's just so much going on at the minute on that social media platform. But we did take some comments down, didn't we? But we've left it now. You can keep commenting. Keep bringing them views, because
keep bringing the love.
We're not feeding. We're not feeding you anymore, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
But we are confident, and we wouldn't be doing this if we couldn't take it on chin.
Absolutely. I mean, you're probably going to be trolled about your fingernails at the moment, because what's going on in the
Well, I'm sat here like this trying to ride them. Yeah, I can't wait.
With it.
So I am going on Saturday morning. I've got to be there at 9:30 in the morning.
I mean, obviously you're going for a different reason, Nick, but obviously right now this is actually trending, Barbie Vag, isn't it?
Oh yeah,
if
absolutely.
If you think about it, like in Turkey you can get it all kind of neatened up and everything like that. So tell me what's going on.
So I'm obviously going for...
Yeah.
I can't stop weeing.
Yeah.
Stair jump. I'll have a wee. Wee in gym. I'm like,
and
even,
it's literally floodgates.
But I know it's happening.
Yeah.
And then obviously it's just progressively got worse.
Of
and
course.
And then I'll have a wee at home. I'll start walking. And it just comes out again.
Yeah.
But I can't feel it.
Do you know, I'm like that though, and I haven't actually even give birth naturally, and I think it's just an age thing as well. And like, you know me, I'm in that Pilates and yoga studio nonstop, but sometimes that muscle does weaken and there is a reason why
you... Pelvic floor.
Absolutely. And I'm the same, and I do loads of pelvic floor exercises, but sometimes you need that intervention in to go, because obviously when you went, did you even know?
Yeah. No, I went. Obviously, to ask for, it's called vaginoplasty.
Okay.
The tightening that I'm having done. But I'd gone thinking that it's, because I'd looked into it online, it's reconstruction of your pelvic muscles.
Yeah.
Obviously, pelvic floor being to help me stop this weeing.
Yeah.
I have been to NHS, but long story short, it was a really long wait list just to have physio.
That's the problem with the NHS right now. You've got women suffering, haven't you?
Yeah.
With it.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
Because not everyone can afford to go private.
Absolutely.
With it. But I am so glad I did.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even know.
And the trolls can keep on commenting, because at least you can go private, my girl, and get it sorted.
It. Anyway, when I got there, it did an assessment, and basically I've got a double vaginal prolapse.
Oh, wow.
Given birth 4 times naturally.
Yeah.
I am 34.
I mean, I love that for you. I can't even deal with a headache. So I brought him out the sunroof, to get rid of me. And I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And my auntie was coming round. She was my midwife. And I was like, I need a C-section. I was petrified, Nick, to get rid of me.
Yeah.
So I've never felt that feeling of giving birth naturally. So I can imagine the trauma of it down there. Yeah.
But I was already a bit like that pre-magger.
Yeah.
So then to have another baby, and then obviously...
Did you feel like it affected your sex life? Was it, or was you just...
A little. Not in a way that it's detrimental.
Yeah.
But I could feel a little bit that...
Absolutely.
That there was... I shouldn't say, like a wizard sleep.
Yeah, is that the wording?
As people would say, not that bad.
I'm seeing the gifts now coming in the comments.
New comment there. But it's not that bad, but I could tell the difference.
Yeah.
So obviously that will probably help in that area as well.
Of course, absolutely.
So when I went, I said, do you know what? He did say to me, the surgeon, if you don't do it now,
it's going to get worse.
Yeah. And obviously it will become a problem in the next couple of years. So I am going, hence why I have no nails on, because the surgery is on Saturday.
Nice.
Exciting. So I can update you all.
I can't wait. Guys, we'll put a before and after on if they
Why
want.
Troll that.
How long are you out for then after that?
I just can't train for 4 weeks, which that will be the biggest mental strain for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm in such a routine. But do you know what? I'm still going to go to the gym. I'm still going to go to the yoga.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just not do it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be there.
Yeah.
Just so I keep the routine and obviously go back when I can.
Just kind of can't, because you actually, at the moment, are you going through like a bulking and shredding at the minute, aren't you, to get your little...
Bulking?
Yeah, you
eating
look so
2,300 calories a day. I mean,
wow.
This morning when I put this top on, I thought,
look
like Mitchell and Man, you know?
No, you're looking good. And do you know what I loved yesterday? I think you were doing like some little pelvic floor exercises with Maggie.
Oh, yeah.
And she had a little band on. And do you know what? It was cute to see. But honestly, you're looking great off it.
I do feel better. I just feel like when you go through the flumpy stage and not feeling me, I've put a stone on in 6 weeks. And I'm only tiny.
Yeah, you're literally... What are you, 5 foot?
5 foot 3.
So I'm like 5'7". So yeah, when you think about
it's
it...
It's a lot. It's a lot for me again. But then I'll cut for summer.
What made you do that? Was that just to build the muscle? Because obviously I do a lot of yoga and a lot of Pilates, so it's completely different training, isn't it? Like, is that to kind of just build your bum and build your muscles? Because sometimes when you're tiny, that's hard to get, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I'm always so very thin.
Yeah.
But then a flat bum. So obviously for me to create a bum, I had to eat more. Weren't really eating. Such an unhealthy diet. I was having my tea, and that would be it. I'd drink Diet Coke all day.
Yeah.
So, girls and boys, if anybody is doing that, stop and get into some sort of eating routine, because it's so unhealthy. The benefits I have felt from just eating more food and drinking more water.
Do you know what? It's funny that you said that as well, because I've really gone down that wellness route. I think we've both gone on like this little spiritual journey this year. It's quite funny, isn't it, that we've both done it? And I've been doing loads of NAD IV drips, feeling so good. I've been going to like the Morrisons, picking up fresh fish, fresh meat, and just eating like that, or just with fresh food and veg. I've noticed the difference in myself, my sleep, and
yeah, I've got to say, sleep's a massive one. I mean, not that absolutely, I get much of it with Maggie, yeah. But I feel like at one point, even though Maggie was awake,
yeah,
I was zombified in the morning. But even though I'm awake now, I can still get up and get about my day.
Absolutely, yeah.
Without feeling tired and as like I need good sleep in an afternoon and things like that. So it has helped me massively. But then we've got our little retreat coming up, haven't we?
I'm so excited about that, I'm really, really excited. A
little bit gutted on this Friday.
I know, but you're going to see Paul Smith. Are you excited?
Cannot wait.
We need to blame Andrew for this.
I know, Andrew. Like, thank you so literally. Much. And then I felt terrible because it was like, yeah, it's on this day. And I was like, well, I've already booked something.
But Andrew's very much into his spirituality and everything, isn't he? Because obviously he went through that really, really kind of big operation, thought he couldn't go back to MMA and everything like that. And he really went on a good spiritual journey and it really shows, doesn't it?
Yes, we did. Andrew turned me to this.
Okay.
So Andrew had already done it pre-meeting me. And then obviously he had to have the 5 years out of his fighting.
Yeah.
So he's continued on that journey. I've never met a human being who is so stuck and stayed in such a regimented routine for 5 years of being told you'll never fight again.
That must have been hard when you think about it. Do you know what I mean? Terrible. Especially because, like, to come out of a sport that he was so dedicated to think, oh my God, like that mental health side of things, to think that possibly he could never fight again.
Yeah.
And just seeing how you were like, so like there for him as a partner, even now, like you'll put gorgeous little posts up saying that's my human and stuff. And you could just see the support system.
I'm so proud of him because I think if that would have been someone else, well, probably me back in day, who was told that you can't do that for 5 years, and I thought, no worries, I'll just never do it again then.
Yeah.
But he knew that he would be able to do it at some point again. Yeah. So he ended up having the surgery the first time, what didn't work, then having the open brain, which he had done when he was with me.
Wow.
Which was such an hard time. I was literally setting alarms, nipping out, going home, giving him his medications.
Absolutely.
But look where he is now.
It just goes to show, like, that power of determination, because it's funny, like, you were into it a little bit earlier than me, so I fell into it from losing my mum.
Yeah.
And I just went into that fight or flight. I was in uni. I was literally like, no, I'm finished. I remember uni saying to me, do you want to defer? And I was like, if I defer, I'm not coming back. And they were so, like, supportive in it all. And I just went into this fight or flight. I was just like, in total shock what had happened to me, because I think watching someone die from COPD,
terrible.
It's horrific. I feel it's one way I hope and pray that I never have to go, because I think I just had really bad PTSD off it, because watching and not be able to breathe and like fall into that coma and then make decisions of putting drivers in and everything. And then I remember meeting my friend in Dubai and he was like, I think it's time to start coming and doing some breath work. And I was like, what's breath work? And I remember
it's
getting
not
on that.
It is a bit more talked about now, but never used to be, did it?
Absolutely. Because I think for me, therapy and going to sit in front of a professional, I'm not good at talking about my emotions. And I never was until doing all this work. Now my heart's just like open and I just think...
Verbal diarrhea me when it comes to emotions.
Oh, I'm telling you. So I feel like even with like all that trolling, it was just like, do you know what? Have a little bit of like empathy for someone, what they're going through. Because to be fair, when we filmed them the other week, I'd got back from Dubai. Cody had been poorly. Craig had been really poorly for 2 weeks. It had been snowing. I was coming down with it. I was literally, I just scragged my hair back, threw a bit of makeup on, hadn't done my brows.
She had. She's done them this morning as well. Plucked them.
Literally this morning they were done. And it was just like, so I was able to just, them comments were just like, do you know, it's water off a duck's back. I'm so content and happy in myself. Yeah. But if you'd have done that to me 6 months ago when I was just, I was in that rut and I was just going out drinking, I just kind of just wanted to escape the world, I'd have probably had a breakdown.
Yeah, and you just wouldn't have done it again, would you?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't be here today, put it that way, would you?
Absolutely, girl, I wouldn't, do you know what I mean? And now I just think, it's one of, I've literally, since Christmas, I go out, I have one or two drinks. It just doesn't really bother me. And you know what was really funny? How everything aligns, because I remember my friend at the beginning of January giving me a book, and it was called The Untethered Soul.
Amazing book, I love it.
Isn't it? Well, yeah, I remember going on, I think you'd actually been reading it the same week as me. Yeah, and we just didn't know.
Yeah, until we spoke about it.
Yeah, and that's actually changed my life, that, of just kind of switching off from that voice in the head, because it's like, do you know what? I'm just living for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And literally people around me show me love and make me be seen. And if you can't do that, that you need to go and do some work, because...
Yeah, it's all on them a lot of the time, it is.
Absolutely.
So I've just been reading. So I listened to the podcast. Did you ever listen to it?
Which one?
Jay Shetty with Mel Robbins.
I've not read that one, but I love Jay Shetty.
So there's one on, honestly, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it's called The Let Them Theory. Mel Robbins' book is called that. And I've read that. So I listened to the podcast. It's about an hour and 40. Unbelievable for when you're driving around in your car. And then one of my friends actually got me the book, and I come home one day and the book was in house.
Wow.
So I was like, oh my God. Like, I decided that I'll listen podcasts in my car, bit of audio booking, because I haven't got time.
Absolutely.
To read.
Yeah.
And then this week I thought, no, you have got time.
Yeah.
Get the book, her back, and you'll make yourself read it, because you'll have to give yourself the time. And then I walked home and my friend had got me the book and it had been posted to me. I was like, that means that I'll read
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, yeah.
But that's about letting them be them.
Yeah.
So, for instance, these trolls that we've got going on.
Yeah.
Not that I want to keep going on about trolling, but...
Yeah, it's a big thing in our life right now, and we're trying to do something positive, but unfortunately it's coming with...
Still brings the negativity in on it, and that's just... There's always going to be that.
Absolutely.
But I think take the negative with the positive.
Yeah.
And then you can sort of revert... Put that back on them.
Absolutely. Well, I think we're going to be, for us, it's about showing reality of what it is. Like, kind of, there is natural skin. Some days our hair is going to be a mess.
Well, mine today is grey. That's why I plaited it.
Oh, I actually like it in flats, though. You're
cute. It's quite cute, but it is grey. I'll be honest.
You'll probably get an emoji of looking like a 16-year-old or something. Do you know what I mean?
No, someone said we were 60. Did you see that? That was on TikTok, actually. And do you know what? In the moments, I thought, let them.
Yeah.
That theory, let them be them. Let them criticise and be unhappy that I look 60. That's on you.
So how long until we got our bus pass if we look 60?
Well, I don't know, but I'm just missing a school uniform, I'll be honest. I'm not 60, I know that. I mean, it's just ridiculous comments, isn't it?
Yeah.
They don't even make sense.
Half the time, they actually don't, you know what I mean?
No, with it. And I just thought, do you know what? Leave you to it, but let them be them. And then you've got to let you take control of what you decide to affect you, what you can control. We can only control certain things in our life.
100%. And do you know what? Like we say, Jared, I mean, everyone's beauty standards are different. So I'm actually looking to get my boobs removed. So I can't wait, you know. Like, I don't know. I think boobs were trending at one point, wasn't they? And I just think right now for me, I'm going to have them made smaller. Just kind of, I just like that sleek little look. So yeah, I'm looking to possibly, I'm going to go and see, actually, do you know what? The surgeon I'm going to go to see, actually, I'm going to a woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't see many women, do you, doing that?
You really don't, but I feel like if you're going to have your boobs done, they're the best people. They're going to know what a woman wants in her boobs, isn't she? But I really researched this because obviously we talk about a lot sometimes on our socials, don't we, about kind of like really researching your surgeon, because lately you're seeing so many horror stories going around. And so I really looked into it and I was like, you know what, I feel like I want to go to a woman again. I just put this out there. I didn't even really know if there was any good ones. And again, it just come to me, do you know what I mean? I was recommended her. And she specialises in everything woman. So labiaplasty, boobs, facial rejuvenation. I actually need to speak to her, actually, because I feel like I've got a pile that needs to be looked at after having a baby as well.
Really?
Yeah, that's kind of something
that's very, very popular. A couple of my friends have got.
Yeah.
Look, I've never had one, but a lot of my friends have. And people don't speak about it, do they?
No, absolutely. And do you know what? I feel like I've had it since the baby.
Yeah.
But also, I think I need to get it seen too, really, because the baby's nearly 10.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm probably going to, I don't know, because again, this is another thing. It's that taboo, isn't it? And do you know, actually, I'm going to bring it up, actually, because this was a really good case as like partnership and like kind of connection I made on Sunday. So I'll talk about the little taboo thing because I went in the doctor's to get a smear. And when I was there, I thought, I'm just going to bring it up. My legs are akimbo anyway. Do you know what I mean? She's down there. She might as well have a little look. I said, right, okay. I think obviously she was just like the nurse, do you know what I mean? Doing my routine smear. And she said, like, when you go out, just speak to the doctor. So I said, yeah, do you know what I will do? So I went out and the woman said to me, do you want to see a woman doctor or a male doctor? And instantly I went, oh, can I just see a woman doctor? And she's like, oh, yeah, ring back on Tuesday, blah, blah, blah. So I'm still waiting for an appointment and everything for that. So that's why I'm thinking if I'm going to go down and see about my boobs next month, I might as well just speak about that area as well. Do you know what I mean? See if she can do that a little bit of a tidy up as well and everything. But when we were at that event on Sunday, we were at like a little Her 30s event. And I met a really, really kind of interested woman there. Her name was Bianca. And she runs an app called Zelsu or Zelta. I'll get it and link it anyway. And Brazilian woman come over to London and the app was about for women who, if they feel like they've got an STI, that they can go through this app and it's fully confidential and it doesn't go through the NHS in case they're embarrassed about going to their own doctor. And I thought, wow, that's actually really an amazing idea for women, yet we're immune.
Yeah.
Who are being a little bit like...
Because even though I'm going private,
yeah,
they've still contacted my doctors to get my medical history.
Yeah, though that's what they normally do.
Rang me,
yeah,
which I'm not bothered that
absolutely
my doctors know what I'm going in for or whatever. But some people don't want anybody else to know, and that's why they would either not have it done or just leave it.
Yeah,
or they would go private.
Absolutely.
But when they rang me, I was like, all right, you know more than I know because I've not even been given my admission date or time yet, but you've just told me.
Absolutely.
So thanks, but...
And I feel like that's what needs to be raised more, isn't it? Like taboo things like that, that women feel so alone.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Doing like...
Even the things that we're having done in general.
Yeah.
Like, if you were weeing and you shouldn't be weeing, then there's obviously something not right.
Absolutely.
But I've had it for longer than I probably know I've had it.
Yeah.
But I've just hid it.
Of course.
And I thought, oh, all right then, that was... But then now I'm a bit more, I've done my own working on me.
Yeah.
And I feel more confident and more, like I can speak out more.
Absolutely.
That I can have the conversations with other people without being worried about what they're going to think of me.
Yeah.
Like if you want to judge that I wee in my pants, that's on you. I'm sorting it out. But do you know what I mean? Back in the day, I'd have been thinking, I can't say that. So embarrassed. But now I'm like, it needs sorting. And if I hadn't have got this confidence in myself, I would just be living the rest of my life so unhappy.
Absolutely.
But not speaking out with it.
Yeah.
And there'll be so many other people out there who feel that way.
And I think as well, a lot of women... I mean, we're really fortunate. We've got, like, ourselves. We've got a really good friendship. Like, I mean, Aklash is one of my best friends. But we've got a good support system around us and stuff. But some women haven't got that. They haven't got your girlfriends to talk to and stuff like that. So they do get... especially when I think your self-esteem's so low.
Error.
It's hard, isn't it, for people?
To make new relationships.
Yeah.
But I do feel as well that a lot of these people... don't have these support networks because they're not with the right people. They
absolutely
don't mix with the correct people.
Yeah.
And once you've sort of aligned with the right people, these relationships naturally form.
Absolutely.
Where it's not effort. It's not an effort to be friends or be nice to someone, is it? But these people who live with the negative people around them will instantly feel...
They get like trauma bonds, don't they? And then they believe that they're in this really great friendship, but really they're in this trauma bond with each other. And I read something on Instagram. Was it Instagram or a video? And it was, if you hang around or like immerse yourselves like in people who are always negative, literally that brings your own
level of
energy down by like 40%. And you just thought, wow, you don't really... And it's so true because I always used to think, why am I so tired?
Yeah.
And I'd be having 12 hours sleep. I'm literally nicknamed Sleeping Beauty because I love
my beds. So are you an empath? I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I'm a really like kind of empath. I take everyone's emotions on.
I am.
So like sometimes I think this work's taught me how to protect that a little bit because...
People just take, don't they?
Yeah, I'm quite intuitional as well. So, like, I'll dream stuff and it happens. And So when I started doing this work, it was like, I remember doing my first breath retreat class, and I felt like I had an exorcism. I was shaking on the mat, and they say that's just peeling back the trauma, isn't it? And when I left that night, I was like, I'm not going back. What was that that's just happened? And now I really trust the mat. I'm like, do you know what? I know when I need to go as well. Like, I've been doing since Christmas, like, yoga every single day. It's my thing, do you know what I mean? It's, I love the way it just releases everything. It keeps me just calm. I also listen to a thing on YouTube called the 432 Hz frequency. Don't know if you've ever heard of that.
I've heard, I've never looked into it, but it's been spoke about when I did my tapping last week.
Yeah.
It was brought up in that.
And that's really big. That literally is, like, Einstein and everyone spoke about it. It's a frequency that you should listen to, do you know what I mean? And it's how your brain connects with the frequency and your energy and everything. And that just keeps me in a calm state. I don't know, I was always so, like, oh, non-stop.
Yeah, a million miles an hour.
Absolutely, and then just taking that step down and that calmness through doing this work and listening to frequencies like that, it just keeps me so balanced with it all.
So when I had the tapping last week...
You were quite emotional off that, wasn't you, after it?
I couldn't stop crying.
Yeah.
But only in the sections when I had to speak about me.
Yeah.
So I had to tell myself that I loved myself regardless to whether, you know, whatever the situation was at the time, what I was going through. I still had to say, but I love me. And every time I had to say that, I got so upset. And I kept saying to the woman, I don't know why I'm crying.
Absolutely.
And she was like, it's fine. Yeah. It's just your way of getting that out.
Yeah.
She burps. So I couldn't stop laughing because I was thinking in this room, am I going to start burping now? She was like, oh, you know, it could come out the other way. And I thought, oh, I don't need this. But mine must have been tears.
Yeah.
So she was going through the frequency of energies and things like that. And she sort of said that you may come across people in your life.
Yeah.
And your energy's here.
Theirs is there.
And if theirs is there...
They automatically bring you down.
They can't come up.
Exactly.
Because they're blocked here.
It's you what has to draw. And that's what I had to learn. Because I feel like, because I was such an empath, I wanted to fix everyone. Because the trauma of my mum passing, I wanted to make sure everyone was okay. And I've actually learned this with my brother as well. I mother my brother so much, and I've learned that I need to be a sister.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? I'm his sister, I can't mother him. But when you're literally your pride and joy, and that's what I'm learning as well, I can't fix everyone. So I was going through life attracting people who were broken the same as me and then wanting to fix them. So I was not only just trying to fix myself, I was trying to fix other people.
That's
and
exactly
I was like,
me.
I need to stop this. Me. Yeah.
It's a scary place to live though, that.
Absolutely.
Because I was thinking, this is what came up last week. So she said to me, the tears and obviously the things that was discussed are due to, I think I'm in such a good place every day when I wake up, and people come to me because of that reason.
Yeah. Well, so you attract.
Yeah, yeah. But then deep down, she's like, you've done all the mental side of things, you know, with your mindset.
Yeah.
You know who you want to be around.
Yeah.
You know that, but you've not actually fixed yourself.
Yeah.
Deep enough. So your inner child or whatever.
Well, it's like your mother wound, your father wound, your inner child. There's so much that people don't realise, and it can be something so small.
Yeah.
That's triggering, and you're going through life and relationships just aren't working because this isn't fixed within you. And it's quite a good statement that I've always heard. How can you expect someone to love you when you don't love yourself?
Yeah.
And it's so true. Whereas now, I've got so much love for me that literally I can accept it as well.
Yeah.
Rather than, I used to get overwhelmed a little bit and I'd find problems in something that wasn't there because inside me I was literally a bit like, oh, I was so kind of broken.
Yeah. I think though with that, like I said, last week, like I said, I thought I was okay. And still now I'm saying I'm absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But there is obviously
which
something
you are.
There.
Do you get what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Externally, you are, but everyone's got that inside them. And you might not think that you need to fix something, but or you need to release some sort of emotion. But it's like humans, isn't it? They say if you've ever watched like animals, when they get rid of trauma, they fall on the ground, they shake, the trauma goes, and they don't think about it. Us as humans, we layer it. And
yeah,
layer
we hold it.
And
in.
Layer it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where then she was saying, have you got like any pains or anything in your body? Mine being my right knee.
Okay.
Your right side is your masculine energy.
Right, okay.
So then it all came down to, she originally said to me, what do you want to work on? I was like, work.
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, but why? What do you mean work?
I knew you were going to say that. Do you think your work is like your escape?
So she was saying I need to surrender to thinking that I have to provide.
Okay. Where do you think that comes from then? Do you think
that's what she was saying? Yeah. There's something underlying, which takes me right back to when I've been left on my own with three children.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had nothing. I had no job, no car. I had a house at the time, but I moved back in with my parents because I couldn't afford it on my own.
Actually, yeah.
So then in that moment, I thought, right, I need to change something.
Yeah.
So I ended up starting college, then I did uni.
Yeah.
And then obviously I've built my business, I've gone back to uni, and I can't sort of switch out of that role of being provider.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I couldn't see, and fear of failure, I can't have my kids think that I've failed, so how can I not?
And that's a big burden to hold on yourself, Nick, as well, isn't it? And especially then for Andrew to come in and try and nurture you, it's hard to break that masculinity down in you because you've been so stuck in it for so long.
I'm Miss Independent, and I don't mean it in an awful way.
No, absolutely.
But sometimes it comes across, right, no worries, well, we're meant to be a family type of thing. Not that he would ever think that, and he's never said that, but then because I've had this done now, I'm like, right, I get it. Maybe that is, I don't know, maybe am I putting that off? That
absolutely,
I'm this person who, I don't really need you.
Yeah.
Is it awful as it might sound?
That could actually, like, if that carried on, that could have actually really affected your relationship if you think about it. Like, at one, like you'd have thought, it could have kind of, I'm not saying, because he's very masculine, do you know what I mean? He's an MMA fighter, and that could have really, like, demasculated him as well. So when men feel like that, they tend to then walk away then from the relationship because it's like, well, I need to feel
a bit of control.
Yeah, I just feel like a man. Just like...
Yeah, but I think for, obviously, with Andrew, I sat and spoke to him about it when I got home because I thought, that is so true that it's come about, but that's something I need to work on.
Absolutely.
So it's not anything severe that she was saying is wrong with me. Yeah. It's just that I sort of need to understand that, because I was like, yeah, but three children, they're not Andrew's, even though we're still, and he always would say they're his kids.
Of course. And he's a great dad.
Yeah. It's not that. It's just that I know really deep down that I've always had to be the provider for them kids because I was on my own. But it's hard to come out of that.
Absolutely. And that's it. Even my home life now, like, I'm cooking, I'm kind of enjoying being at home with Craig and the baby, and it's just so much calmer, whereas, like, and it needed to happen because I think if I hadn't have gone into it, I'd have had a massive breakdown, and I was close to it. I was on the brink. It was just like, this needs to, and everything was going to shit, do you know what I mean? Work, because I couldn't be bothered with work or anything like that. And I think for me, when we touch on the empath thing, people don't realise I'd lost my mum during my degree, but I was also working in a hospital setting and watching people in pain. I was taking that on constantly. So when I started doing breath work, it was all that trauma I was seeing in the hospital and, like, kind of my mom and everything like that, that it was like, whoa, what's just happened to me?
Yeah,
it was too much, to be fair. And I'm not really a therapy girl. I don't think I could sit there with a professional just going, so what about this and what about that? Because I'd be thinking, that's not wrong with me. That's not that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
I think therapy and how we do spirituality, it's different anyway.
100%.
Because therapy is a bit more structured and you need to do this, and this to achieve this. Where what we do is learning yourself, and everybody's so different that I actually do feel sometimes that I am a therapist to others.
Absolutely, but I think it naturally
not meaning to do it.
But I think when you're doing all that work, and especially when I watch you as well, you actually draw people towards you because they're like, oh, what are you doing? How come you're shining so bright? Oh my God, what's going on?
And people notice it.
Absolutely.
And being just open and transparent and just being approachable, which is probably why we are empaths, because we do. I've always got my arms open.
Absolutely.
And sometimes I think too far.
Yeah.
Really,
sometimes to the point where people take the piss as well, because they think, oh, do you know what? oh, she'll do that, she'll do that. Because I think what people don't realise is they think you're a pushover, but you're actually a lot wiser than them. You're just there to help them, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like when people start taking the piss, you're a bit like, now I've got to cut you off.
Yeah. What have you done that for?
Why have you just done
I've
that?
I've just helped you, 6 months, and now I'm going to have to lose all that hard work and not even have you in my life.
Exactly. And then what they don't realise then, it's like, oh, she's a bitch because she's done that. And it's like, you don't realise how much I'm breaking inside that I've got to actually go and break you off now because I've seen a side to you that I can't unsee.
I know.
And it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Especially, like, even in this industry that we're in.
Yeah.
I have so many people who'll message, for instance, about complications and whatever else. And I've had to sort of stop that.
Yeah.
Because in the moments, if I'm not at work, for instance, and I'm out with kids, my energy is so precious for them kids at that time. That
absolutely.
Don't get it all day over because who does?
Unfortunately, we're in an era where it's like, I mean, my mum was a single mum, so she could give us all her energy, do you know what I mean? My mum went through quite a traumatic childhood, and I'll probably speak about that later on the podcast, do you know what I mean? But she raised me and Scott, so this is where kind of I stood in as that second mother to our Scott because... He only had me and his dad is brilliant. He's my stepdad, lives in Scotland, and he's amazing. But at home, he only really had me and my mum. And quite often, I'd step in and do everything, do you know what I mean? And it was just that protection of each other.
Yeah.
Because what my mum was going through. What it is that does spiral constantly down, do you know what I mean? And then I do that with Cody now. I'm like, oh my God, I've got to over-deliver.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the same with yourself. I mean, that energy that people are then messaging you constantly.
Yeah,
it's like,
I need
to give that to my children.
Yeah. But back then I would. Yeah. I'd be like, all right, well, I need to help
people pleasing,
these.
It was one of the things that comes with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, a yes man.
Yeah.
Yeah, no worries, I'll help you with that. No worries, I'll write you a message.
Nick, I'll give you 100 quid.
Yeah, yeah.
Go there.
Yeah.
Because how many people would you say probably, like, have come to you asking for money? I remember being on my course. I didn't really know the person. She asked me for money.
Get out. Some people are just not arsed though, where they're like, let's be honest. I wouldn't for shame, and I shouldn't. And I get that people are in a chip,
but I would help if I could, do you know what I mean? And that's the thing, I do help.
And I do still do it myself now. And especially to friends, I would never see anybody go without.
Absolutely. What's mine's yours? I've always gone by that.
Yeah.
With it all. And I'm always, if I can go up the ladder, someone else can come with me.
Yeah, of course.
Because
see you at top, isn't it?
Because I think that's an English mentality as well. Very much like, oh, do you know what? That's mine and I can only have that. Whereas when you're in the States, in LA, I was like, hey, girl, I could help you with that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you think, no wonder they're so successful because, and it's funny, right, because I was only thinking this the other day, you know, this huge argument that's going on like non-medics and medics. And there's so many non-medics really, really getting in there with like kind of, they're saying obviously medics are bullying, but I'm seeing it from a different side as well. And I was like, what you've got to remember, in the NHS, it's a thing called collaborative care.
Yeah, yeah.
Naturally, the thing that everyone should be aiming to achieve is patient safety. And I took that into the context of seeing that online lately into life. No one does collaborate. To be fair, I think it's a woman thing as well, because you do see it with men. Men will always be like, oh my God, I've got this job on, right? This person can help me with that. This person can help that. And they really build a core group of people around them. Whereas women, I feel like it's so bitchy that they don't want to do that. It's like, that's mine, so I'm keeping that.
But in this tapping, women's brains work differently to men. So when they say that as a, well, we don't think the same.
Yeah.
They actually don't think the same.
Well, what's that book? Women are from Mars and... Oh, is it the other way? No.
No, there
men are from Mars, women from...
There is a book in there
about
it.
We're on two different planets, aren't we?
Yeah. And it's true.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find that women, there's enough out there for everybody anyway.
Well, it's abundance, isn't it? Everyone's on their own journey, everything. And it's like, you've just got to think there's enough for everyone.
Yeah.
My client might not like... Your client might not come to me because they don't like my work and vice versa. And it's just
yours might not come to me because I like an unplumber.
Well, you know, girl.
But do you know, like, I just find that it's women envious, jealous, and they can't see someone else do well.
Can I ask you a question? Because I've never felt this feeling. I've been inspired and like she kept bringing me in. And this is where I always say there's two different feelings. So you inspire me in things that you do, Jet Ramin.
Vice versa.
And vice versa. I've never looked at a woman and thought, because I feel like, I don't know, I've never felt the feeling of hate.
When I was younger,
yeah,
pre doing all this,
yeah,
I have felt them feelings.
Yeah.
But I only know that now because I can recognise that I don't do it anymore.
Absolutely, yeah.
That I look at people the same as you and I think, oh, look how good that looks.
Yeah.
And if I won't do that, I'm going to have a look into that.
Absolutely.
Because they're making it look good on social media that I think, oh, yeah. I'm going to try that. Not, yeah. Why is she doing that?
Well, this There's is a difference it. In yeah, with absolutely.
But it's your mindset.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's your mindset. And if you're not happy with you within, you're going to project that onto other people.
100%.
So what, all our little comments that we've had, you're a mirror of yourself.
Yeah.
So these, I mean, I'm not saying they've all got big eyebrows because they're probably not. But if they looked in the mirror.
That's my choice as well and your choice. And it's yeah. Like, that's my, like if I want to have a big bushy eyebrow, I can.
Have a man tattooed on for look like that?
I've had a skinny eyebrow and I just didn't feel it. It wasn't my jam.
No, but that's our choice and we've got that choice yeah. And we make that decision. But
absolutely.
It's because it's out of their control.
It's funny, I got a gorgeous message actually yesterday and I've not replied yet because I want to reply with so much like kind of that I've given me time to reply. And she messaged me and she said, I recognise that you've got the same birthmark and beauty spot on the same place as your same part of your face. Now, I absolutely love mine, Jet. I mean, it's something I embrace. There's lots of women embrace it. She was like, I really hate mine. I'm really kind of made to feel bad about having it. With being a professional, is there anything that you can do or recommend that I can make it smaller? And it really made me sad to read because I just thought something so precious that makes you so unique and you're being made to feel
that you shouldn't have
that
it.
You shouldn't have it. And you're just like, wow.
People have them tattooed on.
Absolutely, exactly. They? And it's like, what world are we living in? No. Like your beauty standard is completely different to mine. And do you know what? Let's embrace it. Do we all want to look the same? No. Absolutely.
But whoever's
not.
Making a feel that way, are they really for you?
And they need to go.
Yeah.
This is my point of view, Jet. What I mean?
Cut them off.
Cut them off. Cut the cords.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Tell me about then. Let's finish up. Give me like your weekly wine. What's really pissed you off this week?
You've put me on spot a bit there because mine's been a bit of a manic week with everything.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's funny because before we started this, I don't know whether it's... I've not really... Because I've been doing an event in London. It's been non-stop. Do you know what? I made a promise to myself at the beginning of the year that I'd make sure everything was balanced. And this week it's gone a bit out the window, but I can feel my energy. I've been a bit like, and overwhelmed a little bit lower than I normally have. And I think it's because I've took too much on again.
Yeah.
And whereas I promised myself I wouldn't do that. So I'm going to make a note of that. So that's my thing that I've really pissed myself off with this week because I've not done much yoga, I've not done much breath work, and I can feel my body going into that fight or flight. I'm going to like, tensed with it all.
I feel like I've not been myself either.
Yeah.
But this moment, I don't really know why.
Yeah.
It'll come to me probably next week when I sit and think and reflect on my week.
Absolutely.
But the only thing I haven't done, so my little one would be that I have not really what I should have ate. I've ate the calories, but not the right foods.
Yeah.
But because it's my last week and I'm going in for surgery on Saturday, I thought, I'm enjoying some chocolate.
Do you know what you should get? Where we'll finish off with this because you're going in for your new, like, Barbie vagina. So there was, like, this little... In the goodie bag, there was these tablets and they're called Elisera and it's meant to be, like, the golden pill, like the woman's Viagra. It's meant to bring it all back, your libido and that. So... Telling my partner he's bought me some because I left my goodie bag in London. So I was like, right, okay. You should get some for after your surgery.
I will.
Literally give
him. Send it me over.
Give Andrew a good time.
Andrew will have some of them. He's got to wait 6 weeks. 6 week recovery.
He'll be putting some of them MA moves on you.
Oh, yeah. Cannot wait.
Oh, well, it's been gorgeous, Nick.
I
can't
wait
till next time.
Shall we wrap it up? And
absolutely.
We shall get back together in a couple of weeks.
100%. And I love you lots.
You too. Girl power.
Girl power.